Good morning, Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
Kick it!
Should our enemies choose foolishly to challenge us, they will be crushed by the violence, precision, and ferocity of the War Department. In other words, to our enemies, F-A-F-O. If necessary, our troops can translate that for you.
Not on the radio, they can't. Mess around and find out. Pete Hegseth, Secretary of War, announcing 10 major policy initiatives, changes, whatever you want to call them, to the generals and the admirals yesterday. And this, I thought, honestly, probably the most important speech of the year, at least of the month, much more important than what President Trump said in his rambling 74 minutes after that. Combat arms positions will use the highest male standard as their physical fitness requirement. Combat arms units will implement a separate combat field test. So strength and skill, that's one and two. Service members will take part in PT every day, whether as a unit or individually. All service members must match and satisfy height, weight assessment, and physical fitness twice yearly. That's already policy, apparently. Beards are banned except for temporary waivers for, you know, for particularly black people often have this pseudofolliculitis, Barbie. That's the, they have rash, shaving rash, razor rash, razor burn. And so, you know, they may not be able to shave, but that's temporary. Number six is the department will review toxic leadership, and it will basically redefine the notions of hazing, bullying, toxic leadership, and talking about basic training and all that, which we'll actually have a chance to talk with that tomorrow, about that tomorrow with Admiral Huffman, the commanding officer, the two-star, who the rear admiral here in residence at NAS Pensacola, who's in charge of NETC, the Naval Education Training Command, because we'll talk about how he oversees basic training. Also, a review of the internal, the Inspector General, the Equal Opportunity and the Military Equal Opportunity processes. Didn't specify the changes, but the retention and adverse information. So when people have been dinged for making a mistake in the past, well, some mistakes are a byproduct of incompetence. Some mistakes are a byproduct of trying to win and take risks, and that's what we want. And then also a reduction of mandatory training requirements that are unrelated to actual expertise or qualifications in the field. It's a whole new culture. And we have been getting overwhelmingly positive, supportive texts in here this morning about this. If you agree or disagree and you want to share your views, especially if you're an active duty or a veteran, 437-1620. Because I thought this was the most important speech, at least of the month, and well, it's the first of the month, it doesn't mean much, was yesterday, of September. So, or maybe of the year, because it establishes some very distinctive, very distinct changes in the military. And I mean, we're at pre-war. We're not at war. You know, we're at pre-war. But we need to take this seriously, especially in our area. You know, we are a many base area. We are all the forces are represented here, and military matters massively to our economy, and they matter massively to us as citizens. And so we want to pay attention to this stuff.
It's nearly impossible to change a culture with the same people who helped create or even benefited from that culture, even if that culture was created by a previous president and previous secretary.
Yeah, it's the institutional inertia of keeping doing things the same way is going to be a problem for making big changes. That means people are going to be shed, that people are going to be let go, and there already have been some of that.
Our job, my job, has been to determine which leaders simply did what they must to answer the prerogatives of civilian leadership, and which leaders are truly invested in the woke department, and therefore incapable of embracing the War Department and executing new lawful orders. That's it. It's that simple. So for the past 8 months, we've gotten a good look under the hood of our officer corps. We've done our best to thoroughly assess the human terrain. We've had to make trade-offs and some difficult decisions. It's more of an art than a science.
Yeah, figuring out who you've got and how much of that team is going to continue forward, because you need to win the championship, and it's time to literally trim the fat. The fat on the people, the fat of the people that shouldn't be there in the first place.
But if the words I'm speaking today are making your heart sink, then you should do the honorable thing and resign. We would thank you for your service.
So there's been a lot of talk about how this didn't need to happen. It could have been done by an email or, you know, virtually. No, I actually, now that I've heard it, I thought the president's speech was completely unnecessary. And, I mean, you definitely didn't need to bring them together for that. But what Pete said, what the SecWar said, yeah, this was a definite... Come hear it in person is a much different experience than here's your 10-point bullets in your email. This is a, hey, company, here's what we're doing. Everybody needs to be on board. I actually agree. This is a leadership choice to have this meeting in person. It was if this is what they're going to do, this is the right way to do it. And so people who are, you know, hearing this firsthand and, oh, man, believe. We don't want you. Thank you for your service, but there's the door. On the other hand...
But I suspect, I know, the overwhelming majority of you feel the opposite. These words make your hearts full. You love the War Department because you love what you do, the profession of arms. You are hereby liberated to be an apolitical, hard-charging, no-nonsense, constitutional leader that you joined the military to be.
Finally be the oath, to finally be the thing that you signed up to be. We'll come back to this in a second. John Pickens has traffic on the five. John?
That's right. We're back to rolling accident-free right now. I-10, I-110 are all looking good. Even Highway 90, Avalon, Highway 29 are flowing smoothly again. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the five.
Thanks so much, John. Somebody texted in. I'm a woman, retired Navy. I love it. By the way, retired, just for civilians who don't pick up on these nuances, retired means had 20, you know, had a full career, not just had been a veteran. And I say that out of praise and out of, you know, that's a credential to me. 437-1620, back to the speech yesterday by Secretary of War Pete Hegseth. You know, if you're in, great. We figure most of you are. If you're out, also great. Right? That's fine. You can find something else to do.
Seems like a small thing, but it's not. This includes as well the behavior of our troops online. To that end, I want to thank and recognize the services for their new proactive social media policies. Use them. Anonymous online or keyboard complaining is not worthy of a warrior. It's cowardice masquerading as conscience. Anonymous unit-level social media pages that trash commanders, demoralize troops, and undermine unit cohesion must not be tolerated.
Again, something that came up previously that he hinted at least, and I thought was an important point is, you know, you can allow a lot of things in peace, in peacetime, when the distinction between what happens as a result of allowing these kinds of latitudes doesn't matter all that much, really. But in pre-war and in wartime, you know, you got to tighten up. And that's what I heard him announcing. And again, there are pieces of this that I quibble with, pieces of this that I question, but I would say 95% of this I am enthusiastically on board about. And hearing from a lot of our, veteran community and, you know, retired community, basically echoing, yes, this is all fantastic. It's, you know, I'm always reluctant to be too staunch in my opinion of a military matter as a non-military person, but what I'm hearing from everybody is that, yeah, this is amen. Okay? Not everybody, but almost everybody. And that's good enough for me.
There is no world in which high-intensity war exists without pain, agony, and human tragedy. We are in a dangerous line of work. You are in a dangerous line of work. We may lose good people. But let no warrior cry out from the grave, if only I had been properly trained. We will not lose warfighters because we fail to train or equip them or resource them. Shame on us if we do. Train like your warriors' lives depend on it, because they do.
Now, what I hear in that is that we are going to increase the strenuousness of every level of preparation. That's going to mean people die. That's what I hear. And he says, I'll take that cost. Because I'd rather have a few more die in training because we train like we fight than lose 100, 1,000, or the war because we weren't willing to train like we fight. That's what I hear him saying. So my interpretation of that comment is that do not be surprised as training, you know, ratchets up, that you may have mishaps, you may have incidents. That's not evidence of failure. That's evidence of doing everything it takes to succeed and to deter, because, again, we don't want the warrior who was killed crying out from the grave, if only you had trained me and my unit better.
We also don't fight with stupid rules of engagement. We untie the hands of our warfighters to intimidate, demoralize, hunt, and kill the enemies of our country. No more politically correct and overbearing rules of engagement. Just common sense, maximum lethality, and authority for warfighters. That's all I ever wanted as a platoon leader. And it's all my E6 squad leaders ever wanted, back to that E6 rule. We let our leaders fight their formations, and then we have their back. It's very simple, yet incredibly powerful.
Now, I know the critics will say, you know, do you not still believe in the Geneva Convention? Do you not still believe in the rules of just warfare? And, you know, though I cannot put words in the Second War's mouth, I assume that he does. But what has so often been the case is we send people over to fight and then tie their hands behind their back or one hand behind their back with the rules of engagement, which were often very counterproductive to the end aim of winning the war and achieving the peace. And so, again, I'm on board with this. We're going to have to continue to watch. But if it's high standards, not as an intent to get rid of some people, but it certainly will, then, you know, as a relaxed rules of engagement or, you know, more meaningful, realistic rules of engagement, that's also going to mean a cost on the battlefield. I mean, that's going to mean, you know, probably that's going to mean more civilians get killed. But again, are you trying to protect every life as equal? Because once you engage in warfare, you've no longer entered the every life is sacred mindset. You have to enter the utilitarian mindset of maximize lethality, biggest effect, you know, numbers here versus numbers there. You want, as a human, and always should care about every single life, but it literally, war fighting no longer can care as one life being an infinite value. That's incredibly appropriate for peacetime civilian operations. It's unthinkably unrealistic for military wartime operations. And that's, again, that's what I hear him talking about.
You kill people and break things for a living. You are not politically correct and don't necessarily belong always in polite society.
Right, but
we are not an army of one. We are a joint force of millions of selfless Americans. We are warriors. We are purpose-built, not for fair weather, blue skies, or calm seas. We were built to load up in the back of helicopters, 5 tons, or Zodiacs in the dead of night, in fair weather or foul, to go to dangerous places, to find those who would do our nation harm, and deliver justice on behalf of the American people in close and brutal combat, if necessary. You are different.
And expect to be misunderstood and misrepresented.
You see, the Ivy League faculty lounges will never understand us, and that's okay, because they could never do what you do. The media will mischaracterize us, and that's okay, because deep down they know the reason they can do what they do is you. In this profession, you feel comfortable inside the violence so that our citizens can live peacefully. Lethality is our calling card, and victory our only acceptable end state.
Let me say, I certainly hope that media doesn't include yours truly. I mean, and I know he did. I'm just, some will try to represent things fairly, honestly. And I will say this. If you watch the reporting on the event yesterday, the primary takeaway would have been Trump's comments about the military training on American cities. That's your number one headline. Maybe your number two headline might have been something about Pete Hegseth calls out fat generals or calls out fat troops or something like that. The reason I wanted to play almost the entirety of this speech for you this morning, over the course of 4 hours in the opening segments of every hour, is because I thought it was so important, both for our community and for our nation. But I wanted to give you the raw facts. I wanted to give you the what he actually said in his words so that you would know the truth of the news without necessarily having watched it personally yourself. Because I think that the typical news treatment of something like this, where it's clip here, clip there, most outrageous thing Trump said, move on, does an incredible disservice to what I think was a major moment yesterday in American history. Time will tell. But that's what I heard, and that's why I wanted to spend so much time sharing this with you this morning, because I thought it was significant. And again, you know, time will tell, but...
Move out and draw fire, because we are the War Department. Godspeed.
437-1620 if you want to weigh in, pro or con. 437-1620 special if you're a veteran. I'd love to hear your perspective. John Pickens has traffic on the five. John?
Brought to you by the Pensacola Little Theater. Get your tickets now for the epic gothic musical thriller Jekyll and Hyde, running through October 5th. Get your tickets at the PLT box office or at PensacolaLittleTheater.com. No accidents to report to you right now. Looks like I-10, I-110, Highway 90, 98 are all flowing smoothly. No delays this morning. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Hi, I'm Terrence A. Gross. As many of you know, I am a local board-certified personal injury lawyer, and I have practiced in this community for almost 40 years. Our law firm handles only people that have been injured due to the negligence of another. Join me this Wednesday at 10:30 on Pep Talk as we discuss all aspects of personal injury law.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
Delicious seafood is what you'll find at Davis Catfish House. Davis Catfish serves only the best Mississippi catfish, fresh Gulf seafood, and delicious homemade sides. Weekday specials include two times Tuesday, six free shrimp added to the six-piece dinner. Wednesdays offer lunch basket specials. And everybody's favorite, Shrimp-tastic Thursday, $5 off all-you-can-eat shrimp. Serving fresh seafood daily, visit Davis Catfish House on Dogwood Drive in Milton. See you at David's.
There are a lot of questions about roof replacement in the news lately, such as insurance companies demanding replacement before they cancel coverage to companies not doing the job that they sold to you. Make sure you tune in to the Pensacola Expert Panel tomorrow at 9:30 as Quality Roofing Solutions will answer your questions. Find out what makes Quality Roofing Solutions the premier contractor in Florida tomorrow at 9:30.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620.
Want to win tickets to Florida State home games? Download our News Radio Pensacola app, then tap that app. Tap that app to enter Monday through Friday on News Radio 92.3.
Hey, wait a minute. I'm the smartest guy in the world? Says who?
The IQ test you took in prison. You got the highest score in history. Brought to you by Carl's Jr.
A 27 here on News Radio 92.3, not brought to you by Carl's Jr. We try to be smarter than the average idiocrat. Somebody says, 437-1620, being the wife of a Navy guy and a mother of a Marine, we need to totally prepare our troops. The enemy does not fight fair or with honor. We need to be better, stronger, faster, more superior. Let's see. What I got from Mr. Hegseth's speech was that we're bringing the Reagan-era military back, and we are at our peak readiness for anything Russia might throw at us. This is a glorious thing, and it's long overdue, said James. 437-1620. Somebody else says the military needs to get back to what it once was. Military is our fighting force. We need it to be strong and the best. We don't need to have to fight a war in our country. Yeah, right? I mean, it's... deter, fight over there, fight over here, in that order, right? So let's see. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. We did traffic right before. Okay, David Wayne's in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Well, good morning. Tens of thousands of federal workers now on furlough as the government shutdown went into effect just after midnight. Starting today, federal employees whose jobs are not essential will be told not to go into work. Social Security, Medicare, Medicaid, and the post office do continue operating as normal. A judge ruling against a Trump administration visa policy targeting international students that are pro-Palestinian. The federal judge sided with groups representing university faculty, found the administration violated the First Amendment by chilling free speech on college campuses. And the Hollywood Actors Union condemning reports that an AI-generated actor is now seeking representation from talent agents. SAG-AFTRA said on Tuesday that Tilly Norwood is not really an actor, just a character generated by a computer program. The company that made Tilly Norwood says several talent agencies, though, are looking to cast her in various shows.
Look, this is where we are. You know, if you can generate acting, you know, that's not even the writing. That's just the performance of the thing. I know a lot of actors and actresses are like, they're going to miss the human nuance. They're going to miss. The AI actress is as bad today as she's ever going to be. And, you know, if all you got to do is own a few AI, I mean, we already do CGI for the effects. This is where we're going. You know, how many takes does it take the AI to produce the thing? One take, right? You know? Or, you know, hey, do it with a little bit more of this or a little bit less of this. I hate it, but I don't think there's any arguing that this is where the industry is going to be going. If you can save a few million dollars and not have to pay Tom Cruise, maybe you get another guy who runs just as well.
This is a Fox News alert. I'm Therese Crowley. Federal government shutdown in effect with services disrupted. Only three Democrats voted with Republicans to pass a clean government funding resolution. Vice President J.D. Vance tells Fox the bottom line.
The far left faction of Senate Democrats shut down the government because we wouldn't give them hundreds of billions of dollars for health care benefits for illegal aliens.
Says they will negotiate health funding only after Democrats reopen the government. Fox's Chris Foster.
Mail, Social Security checks, and student loan bills are still being delivered. Airports are running. Those workers are considered essential and are expected to show up unpaid for now. The Interior Department's keeping national park roads and open-air memorials open during the shutdown.
President Trump signed a directive for AI health mission number one to bring an end to childhood cancer. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 8:31 at News Radio 92.3. Cloudy right now. We've got 70 degrees in Pensacola this morning. Well, President Trump increasing funding for childhood cancer research. He signed an executive order yesterday.
Today, in line with recommendations made by Secretary Kennedy and the MAHA Commission, we're doubling that investment, adding another $50 million to Childhood Cancer Data Initiative. We're doing that immediately.
The announcement made in the Oval Office alongside Health Secretary Robert Kennedy, Education Secretary Linda McMahon, also WWE's Triple H and Stephanie McMahon there. Pensacola's Carolyn Hendricks, a childhood cancer survivor, in the Oval Office as well. President Trump, she addressed President Trump and said she supported the order, and after a well-thought-out statement, the two had this interaction.
When did you learn how to speak like that?
I've done lots of speeches for childhood cancer over the last few years, and I'm also in a theater program, so that
helps
a lot. That's great.
Well, good.
And in addition to the $50 million funding increase, President Trump also said they'll be using AI to implement data that's been collected previously over the last several years. The Florida Department of Law Enforcement arresting five people for allegedly trafficking spice or synthetic marijuana, including alleged supplier Kendrick Johnson. Officials say about a pound of spice, 19 pounds of chemical powder, three firearms, and about $37,000 in cash were seized after a search of Johnson's home. All five suspects face serious charges, including racketeering and drug trafficking. The U.S. government partially shut down at midnight, and that will impact operations at national parks, especially campgrounds. Fort Pickens in the Gulf Islands National Seashore is closing. Campers have to be out today.
I've been run here by hurricanes, but I haven't been run out by the government.
Camper David Carter, other campers have reportedly traveled hours to be here from as far away as Arkansas. National Park Contingency Plan does state parks can keep public areas open if they're accessible, but most national parks are expected to shut down completely. A Pensacola man is accused of robbing a local Whataburger drive-thru. PPD says they arrested 36-year-old Alvin Collins this week. He's accused of robbing the restaurant on East Burgess Road earlier this month. Police say he ordered a drink in the drive-thru, and when he got to the window, pointed a gun at the cashier, reportedly apologized but demanded the money. Collins allegedly got $100 from the register and the drink. Officers found the vehicle with the Whataburger cup still inside at a local apartment complex. The officers also say the handgun that matched the description of the one used in the robbery was found at the apartment. A convicted killer is dead, executed by the state last night. Victor Tony Jones died from lethal injection at Florida State Prison at 6:13 yesterday. The 64-year-old killed a husband and wife in Miami in 1990. It's the 13th execution this year. There's still two more on the schedule. It is 8:35 at News Radio 92.3. John's got our traffic on the fives.
That's right. We just had a caller call in about an accident that happened in Gonzales and Palafox, and she said the northbound lanes of Palafox are blocked there. So just be aware of that. But other than that, I-10, I-110 are all flowing smoothly. I'm not seeing any other delays. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Thank you very much, John. Now our Channel 3 weather forecast with meteorologist Brooke Richardson and Channel 3.
We do have a beautiful day in store for you today. Plenty of sunshine, high near 86 degrees. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping near 68. Going into Thursday, nice sunny skies, high near 85. Thursday night, temperatures dropping near 66 degrees. For Friday, mostly sunny skies, just a 10% chance of a stray shower, high near 82. And by Friday night, temperatures dropping near 67. Stay connected to Channel 3 News First Morning Weather Team. Download the WEAR-TV weather app. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Morning Weather Center.
Thank you very much, Brooke. It's 73 degrees now. We've got partly cloudy skies here in Pensacola. Your money now. Markets today are down. The Dow is down about 63 points at 46,334.50. The S&P down 17 points at 66,71.47. NASDAQ is down 65 points at 22,595.53. Looking at our 10-year bond rate, down today at 4.094%. Gold price is up $20.20 at $38.93.40. Silver up 91 cents, $47.55. Let's see here. Crypto today, Bitcoin up over 2,500 at 116,748 even. Ethereum's up about 156.50 at 42.98.38. Solana's up just over $11. Dogecoin up over a tenth of a cent. And XRP is up by 8 cents. DoorDash has a new robot delivery service. They've named it Dot.
DoorDash's first commercial autonomous delivery robot rolling out around Phoenix. At just one-tenth the size of a car, DoorDash says this all-electric bot can travel up to 20 miles per hour on sidewalks, bike lanes, and even roads.
The robot delivery systems look like carts. They're equipped with lights, microphones, speakers, and radar sensors. The company says it can carry up to 30 pounds and is more efficient than traditional delivery. Well, tens of thousands of federal workers on furlough now as the government shutdown officially went into effect just after midnight.
Congress failed to approve a new spending bill Tuesday night, leading to a shutdown just after midnight Eastern time. Starting today, federal employees whose jobs don't protect life or property are being told not to come to work. Social Security, Medicare, Medicaid, and the U.S. Postal Service will continue operating. Air traffic controllers, TSA agents, ICE officers, prison staff, and active duty military members are expected to continue working. Working without pay. They'll receive back pay when the shutdown is over. I'm Tammy Trujillo.
Thank you very much, Tammy. U.S. Airlines is warning that the government shutdown could cause flight delays for airports and travelers, with air traffic controllers and TSA employees required to work without pay. According to reporting from Reuters, absences among controllers and security checkpoint workers rose during the last government shutdown in 2019. It's 8:38. Our next news at 9. Breaking news anytime. I'm David Wayne, News Radio 92.3.
As a business owner, you've got a lot on your plate. Managing staff, growing your business, training new hires, and more. With so much going on, you need Avalon. As an IRS-certified PEO, Avalon HR can help. From running your payrolls, remitting state and federal taxes, workers' compensation insurance, employee benefits, and our HR expertise. Avalon HR lets you focus on your core business while we handle the rest. Employing made easy. AvalonHR.com.
Looking for a stylish way to promote your brand or celebrate a special occasion? Prim and Proper in Gulf Breeze now offers custom hats, a new addition to their lineup of custom and promotional items. From corporate logos to personalized designs, these hats are perfect for businesses, events, team gear, or one-of-a-kind gifts. Prim and Proper is still your go-to for custom engraving and unique gifts. From personalized drinkware to engraved home decor, every item is crafted with care by their in-house experts. Visit primandproper.com for more.
ADX Communications, the family-owned broadcaster behind Cat Country 98.7, News Radio 92.3, ESPN Pensacola, and Pensacola's Playlist, is looking for our next great electronics technician. You'll handle the installation, maintenance, and repair of studio and transmitter gear, network systems, and more, keeping our award-winning radio stations sounding their very best. We offer competitive pay, medical, dental, and vision coverage, a 401k with company match, plus paid vacation and holidays. If you have the skills, the drive, and the passion for serving our community, apply now at catcountry987.com. That's catcountry987.com. ADX Communications, serving our communities and looking for you. If you love electronics, reach out today. ADX Communications is an equal opportunity employer.
Want to score tickets to see Florida State games in Tallahassee? Just download our News Radio Pensacola app.
Then tap the app for your chance to win tickets to FSU home games
Monday through Friday from 5 a.m. to 5 p.m. Each day you enter brings you one step closer to being in the stands. The winner will be announced live at 5:15 p.m. on Pensacola Right Now with Chris and Austin. Download, then tap that app. The News Radio Pensacola app. And get ready to be in the stands for game day with News Radio 92.3.
Everybody was kung fu fighting.
I admire your deductive processes.
Ooh, yeah. I'm going to have to go ahead and sort of disagree with you there.
Oh, idiot.
Food fight!
Gentlemen, you can't fight in here. This is the war room.
This conversation can serve no purpose anymore. Goodbye.
So, I mean, if you just see a random QR code on a post somewhere,
You're not wrong. No information, just a QR code. Yeah. I'm like, what's that?
Yep, there you go.
And you do it just because it's there.
You cannot go around filling out surveys about you.
So this was from the Milton City Council meeting, and it was a conversation about doing the, you know, basically the resident feedback surveys and making them accessible to people on, I guess, like park benches or on flyers that they might hand out at events or whatever, so that people can, you know, beyond the ordinary people they would send it to. But I thought it was fascinating that both Robert Leake and Casey Powell, city council members, just go around scanning QR codes randomly. And it made me want to ask the following question, 437-1620. When you see a QR code, do you A, scan it and see, or B, run in fear? Or somewhere in between. 437-1620, 437-1620. John, 437-1620, are you a QR code scanner?
Oh, yeah.
You'll sleep with any old QR code whatsoever? No discrimination?
You know, have to see what it is.
Sleazy QR codes that are out there, and you have to see. Easy, are you always curious? Do you always scan it to see what it comes up?
Right. You want to scan mine?
No.
Okay.
No, thank you.
Well,
not
I mean, I do
that,
have a QR code.
Especially not in that voice.
I do have a QR code you can
scan
and donate money.
So you'll just
money.
Scan any old QR code?
Sure, why not?
No discrimination whatsoever?
No need to.
All right. Meg?
Well, it's not fear-driven. Let me clarify. But I'm of the generation that I'm pedaling as fast as I can to keep up. Because I didn't grow up with computers.
Yeah, okay.
Right? So I'm self-taught at work, through other people, loving patient friends. So the first time I saw a QR code, what is that?
Yep.
I mean, I thought it was something that's on groceries.
Okay.
I mean, it didn't register to me. So finally, a dear
looks
friend,
like some really vulcanized barcode or something.
Yeah,
right,
that was
yeah.
Like a barcode. What do I need with that? So eventually, I had a dear friend who said, Meg, here's how it works. And I thought, wow, this. And then I thought, this is really cool.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, once I understand it, but if you don't know or you don't have any access to people that know or
right.
younger kids or whatever, it is intimidating.
And you know what? I suppose I should do this. I don't mean to exclude anybody, but a QR code, for those who might not know, is the little,
assume.
It looks like a little jumbled chessboard, like
it's a
white and black square.
It looks a lot like the barcodes on it.
Yeah,
if
a barcode were of a square and were a little more detail oriented, kind of looks like digitals, like camouflage that the military mm-hmm. would wear, the little squares. Anyway,
you
I'm not going
to
go.
You see them now on TV, which is so right? bizarre to me. They'll say, click on the QR code to get this deal. And I'm thinking,
Super
wow.
Bowl. There was a Super Bowl ad or two
yes.
that had them
and
last
time
around.
And now more and more ads have
mm-hmm.
them. So I'm
mm-hmm.
grateful that I know what it is, how to use it. I've taken advantage of it. But I just wish there was can we just have a class so I can just keep up. Because I really do. I want to stay in touch.
We'll hold a class for you.
You will?
Yes.
Oh, gosh.
All right, so let me give...
I can work with you.
I'm going to give a completely different answer, which should not surprise you at all.
Because my BlackBerry's now not really... I'm just kidding.
It's kind of old now.
My flip phone.
Battery's not charging.
I have a dear friend who really misses the days of having a BlackBerry. And the one thing I will confess, the best thing about the BlackBerry was the physical keys... I never mistyped anything. Mm-hmm. I loved that. And the tactile sensation. But okay, fine.
But if you had big thumbs, John it was like...
Well,
did he just shush you?
I did.
He did. So, he does it often.
Rude, Andrew. That's so rude.
Okay. QR codes, I almost never scan them.
Why?
Really?
So, first of all, I'm generally anti-digital stuff anyway. I like when I go to a restaurant, I don't want to have to pull up the menu on my phone. Just give me a paper menu.
I just went into a restaurant that had a tablet instead of a paper menu.
Oh, stop it. Just all ridiculous. But generally, my concern is I don't know if there might be some kind of a virus attached to it or something that's going to do something that I don't want to my phone, because that is a real thing. And if I don't, I'm not, it's like running around having unprotected sex. It's like, you know, just, oh, here's my phone. Sure, whatever. I'll scan your QR code. I do not trust them.
Well, you do have an Android, so I understand that completely.
Say it one more time, John.
Whoa.
Oh, gosh. It's always fun.
Boy,
when I come in the
double pane window here.
I never know what I'm going to get. Testy,
John Pickens has traffic
friendly.
On the fives, John.
Yeah, sure, we do. So
say my name.
Oh, Gonzales and North Palafox Street. There's an accident there. The northbound lane of Palafox is blocked right now. So just be aware that I-10, I-110, everything else is looking good. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
They basically remind me of all the scam emails that you get. And what are you taught? Don't click on things you don't know. Don't click on things you don't trust. And here we are just, oh, yeah, QR, bleep, 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 bleep. Everything's fine. What's wrong with you people? Have you learned nothing about digital security?
I'm not going to say a word because you're going to hit me.
Because you say the word you're going to say, you're going to get in trouble.
I know.
All right, 437-1620. Do you or don't you? What's your attitude towards QR codes when you see them around? 437-1620. Somebody says, for better or worse, I generally just ignore them. James says, no, that's like taking random unidentified pills to see what they do. Yeah. And I don't have any of the curiosity element to me about these either. I don't, you know, whatever's behind the QR code, it's fine. Whatever. I don't need it. If I needed it, I would have known what it was for, and they probably would have had me a physical brochure instead, and that's fine. Let's see. Somebody says, Janet says, I hate it. Like Meg, eye-to-eye verbal and handshakes are my thing. Somebody says, I do not scan QR codes in my private life. However, in my job, I am required to scan QR codes for testing purposes. Now, see, if you knew, if I know where it's from, like if I'm at a restaurant and it's, you know, scan the QR code for our menu, I mean, I trust that that's an authentic, verified thing. I'm not averse to it completely. I will tell you this. I take a lot of photos. Mm-hmm. And a lot of times I take a photo of something that might have a QR code, and the phone is always trying to interfere with me just taking the photo. Do you want to go to this website? No, I'm not an idiot. I know how to do that if I want to. So it's always popping up the option to try to access the whatever that I don't actually want in the picture that I'm taking. So this is super me just being whiny this morning. All right.
I wasn't going to say a word.
What?
Scan this for me.
No, thank you.
Yes, you can donate.
Yeah.
Come on.
Pass. Exactly. No, not interested.
See, it has my initials in it, too.
Get that thing out of my face. somebody says, I'm wary of scanning QR codes unless I have an idea what it might be. Some could be from scammers. Exactly. Somebody says, amen, give me a menu. Let's see. Somebody else says, Andrew, you're so right. Well, I mean, that's
well,
just
let's not
for the show.
Let's not go that far.
Somebody says Android is far superior to Apple. Somebody else says I scan. Just reading the text, John. Settle down. I scan only if it is for something I know about and am interested in. Same here. Yeah. I got to know that it's trustworthy and care. Andrew, you can turn that scanning feature off. Oh, yeah, but then the one time I want to use it, it's going to be annoying that I can't pull it up, right? So I get you. It's like voice. It's like the spell checker or autocorrect on the phone. Hate it, hate it, hate it. Oh, dang it. Needed it right there. You know, it's so annoying. Oh, can I tell a completely unrelated story?
No.
Sure.
I mean,
I do have to tell this story. I've told you many times I hate all the new features on the cars, all the safety features. I turn them all off. I hate them all. And the fact that you can inadvertently bump them back on, like the brake hold feature, stupidest feature ever. That's the one that makes it so that when you're at a stop sign and or stoplight and you let off the brake, the car doesn't go until you hit the accelerator. Hate it. But I have to acknowledge, and every time the car is, like, you know, my wife's car has a lot of these features, it'll beep at me when it thinks I'm going to run into somebody, and it's always wrong. Every single time it's wrong.
But that one time.
It saved me from an accident the other day.
Oh, did he just say that?
Oh, step back. Step back.
I hate it so much that I have to admit it. It was the perfect storm. It was the, we're going somewhere. My wife says, are you sure you're going the right way? So I had pulled up the GPS, pulled up the phone. I was looking to be sure. The person in front of me was a right turn on red, and they started to go. And then I started to go behind them, and I was looking at my phone, and they had stopped. The thing I tell my kids all the time, always don't do. And the car beeped at me, and I stopped. And I probably wouldn't have if, Well, Andrew, why wouldn't you just be happy that you avoided an accident? Because I don't want the machines running my life! Even though it did one time. And
do you feel better now?
I don't. I feel so dirty.
He likes to scream a lot, so I'm used to it.
I'm not really used to screaming.
I'm sorry. We'll go to the quiet room.
I just want to be sure he's okay.
You can do therapy or you can do radio. 437-1620.
Right now I know he's not okay.
Did you see Netanyahu's QR code site? It's the Hamas massacre and so incredibly horrific. Oh, God. Ew. No, I don't know where it's going to
take
me. He had
the little lapel pin on.
Oh, no. Yuck.
Oh, I need a lapel pin.
I thought Netanyahu's QR code lapel button was unique. Somebody else said, I'm with Andrew Pierre. I don't trust him, so I totally ignore them. And somebody else says, I don't scan QR codes for the same reasons that I wouldn't drink the contents of the spill mat at the bar at the end of a night of service.
Ew.
What some people call that,
free
drink
alcohol.
The LA freeway. Why would
drinks.
We end on that?
October 29th to Pensacola Beach, presented by IT Gulf Coast and Blue Angels AFCEA chapter. Get connected with top-level cybersecurity, AI, and emerging technology experts. The conference features a free career fair, prizes, and an amazing welcome reception on Pensacola Beach. Discounts available for students, military, and government employees. Visit itenwired.com for tickets.
The Pensacola Beach Songwriters Festival comes to Calvert in the Heights this Friday and Saturday. Hear the stories, the interviews, enjoy music loved by all, and meet songwriting legends. From Rick Huckabee to Gary Nichols, James Atkins to Mike Magno. Country, folk, bluegrass, rock, and Muscle Shoals influences. The Pensacola Beach Songwriters Festival at Calvert in the Heights, October 3rd and 4th. Admission is free at Calvert's, the relaxed restaurant and bar with great seating and stunning views of Pensacola Bay, 670 Scenic Highway.
Join the Great Southern Restaurant Group, home to the Fish House, Atlas Oyster House, Jackson's, Angelina's, and Five Sisters. Today at 9 on the Pensacola Expert Panel, they'll be discussing Atlas Beverage Class, Jazz at Jackson's, Fall and Winter Menus, Fall Harvest Dinner, a Great Southern Dinner, Thanksgiving, and Thanksgiving Grab and Go. All today at 9 on the Pensacola Expert Panel with Great Southern Restaurants.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620.
News Radio Pensacola has a team of experienced and award-winning journalists dedicated to bringing you the most accurate and up-to-date news coverage. Informative, local, dependable.
Ain't good enough to lick the dirt off our cleats.
Watch it, jerk.
Shut up, idiot.
Moron.
Scab eater.
Butt sniffer.
Puss licker.
Fart smeller.
Good morning, 8:53 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay. It's the Pensacola Morning News, and Alex Andrade was on, I think it was Jared and, my brain, I hate getting older. I really hate getting older. Laura in the morning, but it was on WFGX, which is their partner station, 35 instead of Channel 3. Either way, he was talking about the Hope Florida Foundation scandal. Remember the $10 million? That Centene sent to the Hope Florida Foundation that then got distributed to political action committees under the supervision or whatever of James Uthmeyer and some other people. And Alex Andrade had sort of been hunting this down, and that brought the governor in to retaliate against him and for other reasons, Michelle Salzman for the UWF stuff. And so we had this big hubbub, and ultimately it wound up costing us a lot of our appropriations here in Northwest Florida because the governor can't take a criticism. And so he nuclear optioned everything that had Alex Andrade's name on, or many of the things that had Alex Andrade's name on it. Okay, so that's context. That's the like super short version of all this. Well, now the Hope Florida Foundation has, well, people have been let go from it. And you say, oh, good, they're cleaning up the town. No, 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 no. They're getting rid of the whistleblowers.
So the three board members that were rolled off were the chair, Joshua Hay, and two board members, Stephanie White and Tina Vidal-Duarte. Stephanie White and Tina Vidal-Duarte specifically had been asking questions about this $10 million transfer. And Joshua Hay came and testified on my committee last legislative session about everything that occurred with this transfer. So they were not told they were being rolled off. It's not normal for board members in this position to be rolled off without their own input or asking if they could remain on. And it appears somewhat like a cover-up.
So money fraud and money laundering and wire fraud were the allegations that Alex Andrade made, okay, about this. And now the people who either participated in exposing the information and or asked questions about it have been moved off the board of the Hope Florida Foundation. So they're actually getting rid of DeSantis. Whoever's making the choices to get rid of people is getting rid of the people who might actually keep bringing up the problem or fix the problem or bring something to bear that would be relevant. So we're just going to pretend it didn't happen. We're going to deny that it ever happened. We're going to say it's no big deal and move on. As far as I know, there is still an FBI investigation about all this. As far as I know, there's still, like, the feds have been asked to look into it and were. And they talk when they talk. So we'll see. But, man, this is, it's just ugly on ugly on ugly, honestly. 4-3-7-16, and I'm glad Alex keeps pursuing it, you know. Rick Scott said, keep pursuing it, you know. I believe Jimmy Patronis said, yeah, keep looking into this. CFO, right? I'm a former CFO of the state of Florida. Don't give this up. This is not some sweep under the rug kind of thing. This was a big deal. John Pickens has traffic on the fives. John?
That's right. We're back to rolling accident free right now. I-10, I-110, 90, 98 all look good this morning. No delays there. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Thanks so much, John. We covered it earlier this morning, but Chris Smith of Gulf Coast Gun said they're closing shop. They can't make any money competing against internet gun shops. Of course, he had the trouble back in February. Very emotional appeal. His video's online. I covered it in the 6 o'clock hour if you want to listen to the podcast at newsradio923.com or on the app, News Radio Pensacola. Download it. Listen. Very easy to find all of our podcasts there, which John does such a great job of podcasting everything on that app. So it's really useful if you ever want to listen to the show at another time of day, you know, or what you know what a lot of people do? People kind of listen in the car, but then when they're not in the car, they might listen on the phone. But they're a lot of times catching up on other segments of the show that they didn't listen to live. I talk to so many people who go back and listen like the next day or the afternoon or whatever. So, yeah, no, it's wild to me and a fantastic thing the way delayed listening can happen on the podcast. Yeah, technology. Thanks, John. Yeah,
you're welcome.
I see what you did. Okay, so question. Is it right or wrong to run up the football score to 100-0 against an incompetent opponent? Did you see? I know you and I were watching this
the other day.
So apparently there was more to this story because apparently they have slaughter rules in effect and the coaches couldn't like agree on which version of it to use. One has to do with running the clock continuously. I forget what the other one was, but the one coach didn't want because they wanted to get their reps in. They needed to get their practice in. John, you coached?
Oh yeah.
And what would you have thought of a coach who scored 100 points to nothing against you?
I've been on both ends of it.
Yeah.
And I wasn't very happy with that coach. He knows who he is. And, you know, but
100? What was the score?
I think it was like 20-0 or something like that.
Even that, at that low level. Because it was so obvious they were better.
It was three innings of ball.
Oh, it was baseball.
Yeah,
okay.
It was baseball at this point. Okay. But I've been on football, too.
Yeah. 20-0 is an outrageous score, especially for kids playing baseball.
Especially for kids.
Yeah, that's horrific. Okay, so what do you do? I mean, at what point do you stop? Or at what point do you just, you know, running down, let the clock run? I mean, you know, you're not trying to score. You're just trying to, you know, get to the end.
Well, it kind of shows the character of the coaches. That's one thing that stood out to me was like, really, you want to keep going like this?
Yeah.
You know, because I've
what's
been on both
you?
Ends of the spectrum. I've been the winning one. I've been the losing one.
Yeah,
and we called it.
There,
you know,
there's maybe an argument to be made, like at the pro level, you know, where it's professional athletes.
They get paid,
or even maybe in college, though less so because it's not professional. But with kids,
right?
What's wrong with you?
Exactly.
I mean, teach them a lesson about restraint, kindness, compassion. That this isn't war. This isn't bullying. This is supposed to be character building in sports.
Listen on air at night.